Isaiah 6 is our insight, excuse me, into the throne of God. Isaiah 6, God called Isaiah to consecration, and that call gives secrets to a life that God can use. And that's what I'd like to walk through with you. And I call it God's desire for each of us is consecration. And what that means is God wants to make us a tool useful in his hands. And God wants us to know the power of his Spirit. And he wants us to experience every day his desire for consecration. And what does that mean? Well, look at this next slide. Number one, we are to remember God's holiness. Now, what we can do is turn back to Isaiah chapter 6, and I'd like to just point out all the ways God illustrates his holiness. From the Old Testament, we find that our unchanging, immutable God. Now look over here. Isaiah teaches us so much about theology. And when we get to Isaiah chapter 40, what we're going to find is the doctrine of God, which is theology, tells us that God is immutable. What is that? That's a big word, isn't it? It means unchanging. So that's one of the key chapters, chapter 40. But our immutable God has the same plan. To reach a godless society, God called Isaiah in a special way. And that, see, the interpretation is, what did God mean? God literally called Isaiah. Literally. This isn't an illustration. It's not an analogy. It's not a metaphor. It's a historic event. God called, that's the interpretation. How can we apply that? In fact, all of you that are in this course have to do 10 chapters. I hope one of them will be Isaiah 6. Remember your devotional journal that you need to write down and then type up and send in, those of you that are taking this for credit. This would be one of the best chapters. I hope everyone does one on chapter 6. I'm giving you right here, you know, as much as I have found. But our immutable God gives us a timeless truth. More than anything that we do, God is interested in who we are. The key to usefulness in life is doing what God designed us to do. Now look at your slides. Remember God's holiness. There's a song about that coming right from this sixth chapter. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, early in the morning, our song shall rise to thee. Holy, 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 merciful and mighty, God in three persons, blessed Trinity. Number two, Isaiah 6:5 tells us we need to realize our sinfulness. Look back at the scriptures with me, and what we see that God wants us to see what Isaiah saw in verse 5. So I said, woe is me, I am undone. What Isaiah said is he felt like he was disintegrating. I am undone meant I'm falling apart. Why? Because sin, in the light of other sin, doesn't look very bad. In other words, I'll show you what I do. When I'm struggling with something, I look over and I say, oh, my wife does that too. I'm not any worse than she is. And what am I doing? I'm comparing myself with another human. Sin, my sin, in the light of someone else's sin, doesn't look very bad. You know, we kind of excuse each other. That's called rationalizing. That's called me, you know, making excuse for myself. Do you know what I'm supposed to do? I'm supposed to look at how holy God is, and instantly I see how painfully sinful I am. Number two on the slides, I need to realize my sinfulness. There's a great song about that. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stains. That's our hope in Christ. Point number three is receive God's cleansing. Isaiah 6, and you can look back in your Bibles there, do you remember the seraphim? One of them flew, having this live coal, and Isaiah said in verse 7, Isaiah heard God say, Behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away. Receive God's cleansing. That's Isaiah 6, 6 and 7. And here's the testimony of John Newton. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. For just a minute, think about what salvation does to us. We were born blind. Do you understand that? That's what Jesus said. He said, all of you are blind, when he healed the blind man. He said, until I give you sight, you can't see. Lost people are blind spiritually. They can't see God. They can't see where they're going. They have no idea of like prophecy that God has a plan for the future. God says, when we get saved, we who were lost are found. We who were blind now see. The next slide, after John Newton's testimony, gives us this final truth, what I call the secrets that God has for us for being useful to him. And that is that we need to respond to God's calling. Now, I'm going to read Isaiah 6 in just a minute, but look on the slide. Do you see the other passage there? That's Romans 12, 1 and 2. So let's go to Isaiah 6. And I want to rehearse with you again the ending of Isaiah's calling here. Then I heard a voice from the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? Oh, what does that say? Who will go for me? What does your Bible say? Us. Look over here. Isaiah is filled with verses about the Trinity. Remember, why is Isaiah so vital? It's quoted more, has more about salvation, more about the virgin birth, more about the furthest mystery, and more about the Trinity than any other book in the Bible. But who will go, look at this, for us? God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit. And then I said, here I am, send me. Turn now to chapter 12 of Romans. And this is where we're going to conclude the class today with this appeal from the Apostle Paul. He says in chapter 12, I beg you. That's what beseech means. Verse 1, I beg you therefore. The therefore means on the whole truth of chapters 1 through 11, because of all that God has done, the work of God on the cross that we had right here, imputation, justification, on the basis of all that, what he did for us, look at this, by the mercies of God that you present. If I was going to give you my Bible, I would go. If I was going to give you, you know, my journal, I would present it to you. How do you present your life to God? How do you do what Romans 12, 1 and 2 says? Here's a simple way. Every time I teach, I always pull my car keys out of my pocket and I say, when you're driving a car and there's someone in the passenger seat, if you want them to drive instead of you, you have to pull the car over to the side of the road. You have to take it out of gear and put it in park. You have to reach down to the key and turn the key off and pull it out. You get out of the car. You walk all the way around to the other side, open the door, and say, here, you can drive. And you give them the keys. Then you get in the passenger seat, and they drive the car. That's what Romans 12, 1 and 2 says God wants from us. I beseech you, therefore, by the mercies of God, that you present your body, the car keys. God becomes the driver. He becomes the one in charge. He becomes the one that is taking us through life. You know what happens with me? I wake up, grab the keys, start driving, and forget. And I have to stop. And literally, I stop in the day and say, Lord, I have so much to do, I forgot to renew my consecration. That's what chapter 12, 1 and 2 is about. Consecrating, presenting my body as a living sacrifice, which is my reasonable, that word reasonable means my spiritual offering of worship. The greatest worship is not singing the songs. Is presenting my life. That's true worship. And what does the Lord do? He changes my mind. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. How do you get your mind renewed? By giving yourself, consecrating yourself. How does God reach a dying culture like Isaiah lived in 2,700 years ago, and like we live in, the Western society, the Eastern society, the whole world is dying. How do we reach it? By presenting our life back to God. That's why, as you look down at the slide, we need to respond to God's calling, because consecration of me is how God reaches a dying culture.